All week, we've been hearing perspectives on the opioid crisis to mark the 5-year anniversary of former Governor Peter Shumlin's State of the State that focused entirely on addiction. While increased resources have been put towards combating the opioid crisis, the number of accidental deaths attributed to opioids went up in Vermont each year from 2014 through 2017. Total numbers from last year aren't yet available. Today, we'll hear from one mother whose daughter died after an overdose. Amy Marcinko lives in Montgomery. Her 27-year-old daughter, Melanie, died in early 2018. Marcinko told me about the reaction she received to her daughter's death.
I had one person actually come up to me and say, "Only dopes take dope." I was like, "You said what?" And somebody else said, "Well, maybe God will have pity on her."
I met Marcinko at her church in Montgomery, which is in eastern Franklin County. She showed me childhood photos of Melanie.
Are these with her siblings?
Or? Yeah. See, she has 4 siblings. Yeah, she was the youngest of 5, always very sensitive. She grew up on a farm here, very sensitive. Like, I remember when she was like in 5th grade, she wouldn't get on the school bus because she just started like washing her hair herself, and the kids started teasing her, like, you know, "You're going to, you smell like cat pee," or something. So I'd have to smell her head every day before she got on the bus. She was just one of those really sensitive girls. You know, as much as we tried, that was just her nature. She was always sensitive.
Marcinko says Melanie mostly lived in Boston through her 20s, but occasionally came back to Vermont for weeks at a time. But last March, Melanie overdosed just a few days before she was set to return to Vermont.
Like I said, she was working at J-Peak when she went back to Boston. She called the boss, and they were holding her job for her. They were surprised to hear about her death as much as we were. I do volunteer work at the prison, and I tell Melanie's story to them, and the guys there that are had the same issue, they shake their head. They understand. You get out, they said, your friends are no longer your friends. Your family alienates you. It's hard to get jobs. It's hard to talk to people normally. The only people that really seem to take them in are the people that are in the same spot as they were, and then that's not the thing. So I don't know.
So 5 years ago, Governor Shumlin at the time dedicated this State of the State of speech to addiction and talking about addiction and dealing with addiction in Vermont. Do you feel like there's any improvement in how people view addiction or treat addiction here in Vermont?
No, not at all. It's kept undercover. People don't talk about it. Melanie's obituary, my daughter wrote it, and she wasn't going to try to cover it up. Melanie was a victim of the opioid crisis in this country. And like I said, the backlash is pretty intense. People don't visit me. They don't say, "How is she?" There were some very nice people. There's the priest's brother made her tombstone, and he did it personally, and it was very, very kind of him. And I had one person drop off some soup, but it was, nobody really wanted to talk and say, "How are you doing?" Somehow, there needs to be more community acceptance, like, okay. I mean, it's hard to get jobs when you've been out of the loop for a long time. And there really aren't a lot of programs that deal with this issue, because the withdrawal goes on not just for 2 weeks, it goes on for a long time. So there's not enough resources.
What specific kind of resources do you think could be here in a place like Montgomery that would help with people who have addiction?
We do have Turning Point in St. Albans, which is good, but it's very far away. And, you know, if you don't have a car and you're strung out, and I do believe they have a hotline, but you don't hear about it all that much. What they need is a facility to go to. I think there's Valley Vista, and then there's the Brattleboro Retreat. But that's the 2 places. But where do you get help? I don't know.
There are plenty of other parents in this state and around the country that have dealt with the same things as you have. What would you say to parents that have a child who has addiction?
Don't give up on them. There was one time my friend Bridget, she'd asked me, said, why don't we just drive down to Boston and look around and see if we can find her? And at the time, it was like, I said, we're not going to find her in a city like that. But it's always going to be in the back of my mind, maybe if. Put forth every effort. Don't give up on your child. I know someone down on Main Street here. He's an addict right now. His family doesn't want him. We know his family. I've contacted them in Hoboken, actually. He said he's up here. He needs help. You know, there was no return after. Well, we're busy, you know, we got things to do, and I don't know, and he's, you know, he has to get his act together. You're either going to make it or you don't with drug addiction. That's the bottom line, you know. And you say, let them hit their bottom, but the bottom is now with fentanyl. You just don't overdose, you die.
I'm curious, just your decision to want to speak publicly about it. Why is it important to you that people hear that she died of an overdose and addiction?
Because she was a good girl. I mean, I was a teacher, you know, and people go, how could this happen to you? I mean, is your family, you know? I mean, I have one daughter with a PhD, another with a lawyer, an accountant, you know, these kind of things. It happens across the board. People have to know it's going across the board. It's very painful. They have to know the pain that families are going through. It's not like alcohol. It's not like pot. This is much bigger, much more evil. The only thing I could say is get the stuff off of the streets. I don't know how.
Finally, how will you remember Melanie?
No, I don't know yet. I'm still struggling. Like, her things are still in her room because she was supposed to come home. And so, you know, her bedroom is still set up with her clothes and stuff. I haven't dealt with her death yet. I don't think any parent's supposed to deal with this and have to make a decision to take their child off life support. And the repercussions on the family. Right now, the tragedy is too intense to even think about how I want to remember her, except that she was my baby. She was my baby. We took walks together in Montgomery every night. We'd walk the dogs. And she was gentle. We had dinner together. I mean, she'd make me dinner. I made you something really good.